but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
One of my favorite reads when I make my morning rounds is the San Diego Union-Tribune. Mark Ziegler does a fantastic job. Well, he is a go-to if you're reading that newspaper and you want to know what's going on. You know, he covers a whole bunch of different things. Basically, he's a sports writer. Can I just say that? I mean, the umbrella is everything, and I think in today's world, there are fewer and fewer people that have the versatility of our next guest. Mark, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you. Thanks for the kind words. That's above and beyond.
Well, you, like, when you got into the business, you probably didn't think you would do everything, and you pretty much do. Like, I see you on Olympics. I see you on basketball and soccer and Mountain West and San Diego State developments and basically anything and everything.
You know, it's a funny story. When I first started, we had a sports editor, a guy named Bob Wright. He's a super old school guy. He's passed away a few years ago. He's from Philadelphia, hard drinking, hard smoking, you know, the ultimate old school editor. And when I first started at the paper, I was just a high school writer. And he said, okay, you got to do your business cards, fill this out. And it got to the thing for us, a job title. And I said, well, what do I put? Do I put sports writer, or high school sports writer, what do I put? He goes, no, you put staff writer. And I go, staff writer? He goes, yeah, you're a staff writer. You just happen to be in sports. If you can write anything. And then I've sort of had that mentality ever since. I thought it was pretty shrewd and sage advice, and it's always stuck with me.
I love that. And I love that you had a mentor, right? And somebody in the business. And I worry today that those old smoke and drink and editors are no longer in the building. And instead, you have an engagement guy or a person that is good with social media.
Exactly.
Instead, in that role, Mark, you had a great piece about Grand Canyon University in the Mountain West. Can you explain to our readers what is going on? Because Grand Canyon was supposed to go to the WCC. Instead, they're coming to the Mountain West. Now it looks like they're coming early.
Yeah, Grand Canyon had nowhere to go. So they were in the WAC. They leave the WAC, and the WAC says adios. Thanks for your, you know, minimal exit fee. They're headed to the WCC this year. And when the Zags switched to the Pac-12, they looked at it and go, well, you know, the WCC isn't kind of what we thought it was going to be. The Mountain West extends an invitation. They jump and grab that. But it's not until 26, 27, and they're without a home this year. And so from the beginning, they have been working on the Mountain West, said, can we come a year early? And the Mountain West has kind of been playing a little coy and talking out of both sides of their mouth, telling some people, oh, no, they're not coming. They're coming in 26, 27. They're not coming early. But it's pretty clear now that behind the scenes, this has been, you know, talked about, negotiated for months and months and months. I wrote a story a month and a half ago basically saying they're probably coming. And a lot of people in Mountain West said, no, they're not. And I said, well, I think they are. There's enough smoke out there. And sure enough, here they are. So they're coming a year early. The interesting part about it is there's 12 voting members in the Mountain West. But now, since five schools have left to go to the Pac-12, San Diego State being one of them, they immediately lose their voting privileges. And we went through this with the Pac-12 when UCLA and USC announced they were leaving. And so they didn't get a vote on this. They didn't want Grand Canyon any year early for a number of reasons. The other seven schools, which are probably going to benefit financially, agreed to have them in, and we were able to get the vote passed. They needed a three-quarters majority. It was much easier with seven votes than it was with 12. They wouldn't have had the votes. And so here we are, a couple months before fall sports, and Grand Canyon is coming. They're ripping up fall sports schedules and women's soccer and women's basketball and accommodating Grand Canyon, and we'll see them all year.
How much of this, because San Diego State, Boise State, both issuing statements that you got from them, the, you know, terse statements, threatening litigation, they're already in mediation, there's multiple lawsuits involved. How much of the Mountain West moving forward without the departing members is just a sound financial decision for the Mountain West? How much of it is a little bit of a middle finger at the schools that are leaving?
I think it's both. I really do. I'm not sure what would be first. I mean, you might have a better idea than I do, but that's certainly part of it. And there's a bitterness. It was funny because the commissioner of Mountain West, Gloria Navarez, who I really like, but she was answering questions to somebody just a few weeks ago, and someone asked about the animosity between the remaining and the departing members. And she goes, oh, that's, we're over that. It's not awkward anymore. We're all good, you know. and then you pull this. So they're obviously not going to be good, and there's going to be animosity all year long. I'm waiting to see the basketball schedule to come out and to see, you know, where teams have to play, who gets to miss what game, because it's an unbalanced schedule when you add Grand Canyon. I really think there was a little bit of, you know, we're gonna stick it to you a little bit just because you don't like this.
Some of the attorneys that I am talking with about mediation to help me understand what's going on with the Mountain West and the Pac-12 reached out immediately and said, this isn't good. It suggests that maybe they don't have a lot of congruency of vision behind the scenes if this stuff is coming out, bubbling out publicly. Do you think this is all related, or do you see these as separate battles that are being waged, separate maybe from the exit fees and the other stuff?
I think it's kind of related, and I'm getting a sense now, and I don't think this is, you know, anything genius, but, you know, if you just look at the timeline of this thing started, the mediation for the exit fees, the poaching fees started in the middle of May, May 19th, and a lot of people told me they thought, you know, in 2 weeks we should have something hammered out, both sides are motivated, we should move this along month maximum. Well, here we are in the second week of July, and we don't have any deal. The mediation window ends at the end of this month, and I don't think they're going to come to a resolution. I think this thing might proceed down the court and trial path, and I think things, you know, were promising at first, and I think they started to unravel a little bit, and I think this, and maybe because they were unraveling, the Mountain West decided, okay, well, let's you know, throw this this Grand Canyon curveball at them. Because it's, you know, it doesn't look like we're getting anywhere in mediation. So I'll be interested to see, you know, where it goes, and maybe if the Mountain West is a little bit more desperate to get that thing resolved, they'll come back to the table with a better offer. I don't know, but this certainly isn't going to help those negotiations.
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, is our guest. Sean Lewis, the football coach. I want to pivot into football a little bit. You know, last year, 3-9, obviously didn't have his guys. I think he's a great offensive mind, and he's got some proof of performance. But what do you make of year one for him, and how are you feeling as he heads into the second season?
This is a really big year for him. I mean, this is his make-or-break year. And there's a lot of things out of his control that are really, really hard to navigate. These jobs are really hard, as you know, in Group of Five, John. I mean, you don't have the resources of the big boys. You know, schools are getting hit on all different sides with budget cuts and extra expenses, and it's just hard to put together a football program, especially when you start new and you've got to basically overhaul a roster. And, you know, you got to understand, they went from Brady Hoke, who was from the Rocky Long School, who was from the Brady Hoke School before that, of kind of a ground-and-pound, defensive-oriented style of play, to Sean Lewis, who is aired out. We're going to try to score 60 points a game. They didn't do that last year, but that's sort of his philosophy. And so you, not only do you have to overhaul the roster, you have to change the whole philosophy of the program. And it's just hard to do. And they did not do a very good job at it last year. The most concerning thing to me was that I don't think they got better as the season went on. I think they got worse, actually. Some of that was due to injury. And so this is a big year for them. You know, there are no expectations. Some people pick them last in the conference. I think they're going to be better than that. I think they'll be about 500. It might surprise some people. But the biggest issue that they have and the biggest pressure on Sean is going to be that there's no fans. They overpriced the tickets when they opened Snapdragon Stadium. Some people bought them anyway, but they had 3-year contracts. Those are up, and those people are gone, and they're down to like maybe 7,000, 8,000 season ticket holders in a 35,000 capacity building. And so that's the biggest problem. San Diego State is one of the unique, universities or athletic departments in the country where basketball is far, far, far more important. I mean, people care about it. We see our web hits all the time. They are obsessed with this basketball team, and for good reason. Went to a national championship game 2 years ago. They don't care about football. And trying to get them that interest and passion back at the time when you're struggling on the field is a hard thing to do, and that's kind of what he faces.
Gosh, it feels like this is a really important year for them to be a 500 or better team. Would be a big deal for season tickets. Can they lower the prices now, or are they in a conundrum there because they've sold them at higher numbers?
Yeah, that's kind of the issue in a nutshell. And they've resisted that a little bit. You know, I think they felt like, look, the problem is you do these surveys with fans when you build a new stadium, right? And you say, hey, would you like, luxury suites? Would you like this? Would you like that? Well, they were playing in a, 60-year-old dump that was called Qualcomm Stadium. And of course, everyone's going to say, yes, 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 yes. And then they ask, well, would you be willing to pay more? And people will say yes until they get the bill. And then they're like, well, wait a minute. I'm not paying $200 to sit in the upper deck of a Mountain West, football game against Wyoming or someone like that. And so people just, once they priced those season tickets so high, they couldn't lower the single game tickets. And they tried a few things like offering season ticket holders extra tickets, but it's beyond the ticket price. I mean, ticket prices is a major problem, but it's beyond that. It's just sort of the culture of the program. And the basketball has just grown so much that they live in the basketball team's shadow.
The field surface itself became an issue last year, and I could feel the sensitivity from J.D. Wicker and the people at San Diego State. And a little bit of this is they got an MLS team using the field. They've got a lot of demands. Where does that problem stand now, Mark?
Well, they just re-sod the field again. So I think this is the ninth time since the building opened just over 3 years ago. Or less than 3 years ago. I think it was, so it's less than 3 years. They've done it nine times. They have a lot of traffic because they have a college football team, but then they have an MLS team and they have an NWSL team. They used to have in the spring, they used to have a professional rugby team, which, thank goodness for the state of the field, is it moved to University of San Diego's smaller stadium. They have just had a Shakira concert that ripped up the field, so that's one of the reasons they resodded. There's been a lot of talk. Everyone is an agronomist, an amateur agronomist, and has their own theories. Some people say that when they built it, they didn't build the base good enough so the roots can take hold. Other people just say they've had bad luck. So the people say they need grow lights. They just got those. We'll see. I mean, it's a lot of these players on SDF, San Diego FC, have come from Europe where those fields are pool tables, and they don't. They play in them once every 2 weeks, and no one else even looks at the field. It's like Spinal Tap. Don't even look at it. And they come here, and if it's not quite up to that expectation, they complain. So I see both sides of it, but it certainly has been an issue. It's a lot better than it was last year in the fall, but they're coming up on this really busy time when they get in August, September, because now you add the college football team into the mix. We'll see how it goes this year, if it's any better.
How are the San Diego State fans feeling about the new look Pac-12, the media deal, the piece of the media deal with CBS, the addition of Texas State? How much forward thinking are you hearing from your readers?
It's been a little mixed. I think they're excited just to leave the Mountain West. People here, San Diego sports it sort of operates off this huge inferiority complex because we're, the eighth largest city in the country. We're down here in the corner. They feel forgotten. And we only have one traditional professional team. I mean, San Diego Football Club is new, but in the Padres. And, the Clippers left. The Houston Rockets were here years ago, the San Diego Rockets. They left. The Chargers obviously left. And so, I think people look at it like, oh, the Mountain, we're too good for the Mountain West. And the Mountain West, is always trying to screw us. And I think some of that's valid. Some of it probably is a little bit hyperbolic. But I think they're just happy to be out of the Mountain West. But they also realize at the same time that this isn't the Pac-12. And they're looking around going, well, these are all the same teams who play in the Mountain West. We just don't have to go to San Jose State or Nevada anymore. And so, you know, I don't know that there's a ton of excitement. I think people feel like they should be in a power conference, and they're a little delusional in that sense, not really understanding their place in the college sports world and the steps you have to take to get there. So it's kind of been mixed, I think, is the best way to say it.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job covering all this stuff, and I think it's interesting to kind of watch San Diego State, Boise State push back against the Mountain West. Dying to see where that ends up. Mark, keep at it. You know, and I know that, you know, you're covering all things there. Are you starting to think about Olympic coverage and flag football and all that stuff, or does that come later?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Paris last summer, and it was, what a great Olympics that was. And, you know, from a journalist standpoint, and you know this, have you covered an Olympics?
Yeah, I've had five. Yeah, I did five of them. It's crazy.
Okay, I thought you did.
Overwhelming. Yeah.
So, you know, like, and the best thing, you know, the most important thing from a journalist standpoint is your lodging situation and the city and transportation, all those things, the logistics side of it. And I had had a great hotel. A lot of journalists got shipped way outside the city. I had a great connection and got a hotel right down in the center. You know, I stepped out of the hotel and there were three, not one, but three subway lines, metro lines right there. There were restaurants open till 2 a.m. all around. I mean, there's a laundromat around the corner. Great air conditioning, just pumped all night in my room. I mean, comfortable bed, beautiful hotel. And so it made it really easy and it made it really fun. And so from, you know, to go from that to driving around LA in summer traffic, and, you know, trying to park and get to different venues, it's not going to be the same. So can't say I'm really looking forward to LA. And there was some talk about going to Milan this year because we've covered a lot of Winter Olympics as well. But with San Diego State being as good as I think they're going to be in basketball, decided that I'm probably better served, the readers are better served by sticking with the Aztecs, which I'm fine with. They're a great team to cover. Brian Dutcher makes it so easy and so much access that it's a joy to cover these guys.
Can San Diego State still be San Diego State as the revenue sharing world comes along? Or what kind of questions is Dutcher having to ask himself and maybe J.D. Wicker maybe turning to boosters for help as well?
Yeah, I mean, the elephant in the room is football, right? I mean, they have a very successful, or relatively speaking, successful basketball-only collective. And they got up to $3 million this year, which is pretty good for a mid-major/group-of-five type school. And I think the program is such a family-oriented program that a lot of these guys just feel comfortable taking a little bit less, but they get to remain in the program. And some of the guys who left even came back and told them privately, look, yeah, I got more money somewhere else, but I don't leave here. Don't leave here unless it's a huge, huge bag. And so there's something, you know, they're able to sort of survive with maybe a little bit less money just because they have so much more everywhere else. But going forward, you know, as universities start to take that job over from the collectives and distribute the money themselves, there's so much pressure to get good at football because of the stadium issue and filling the stadium and getting more ticket season ticket holders that I think more and more of that money and resources are going to start to get diverted to football. And there just isn't enough to go around. And so, I mean, JD is going to have to make a decision. I know he wants to be everything to everybody, but I think, you know, this is sort of the question that's bubbling beneath the surface of San Diego State that's going to have to get answered is, what's your priority? I mean, do you give everything to basketball, and if there's anything left over, you know, you give it to football kind of like New Mexico does, or are you going to be a football power or try to be a football power, and if we're good at basketball, good, and if not, we're not. And I don't think you can be both with the limited money and resources they have.
Appreciate your time. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Thank you, man.
All right, anytime.
There he goes. Good stuff. Fantastic and versatile. Very unusual to see somebody who can float from world to world, event to event, and do it at the high level that Mark Ziegler does it. Our Big Splash is coming up.